Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for EcoMoney. A recent WWF Italy report shows that forests can act as our natural antivirus. So therefore, protection of natural habitats is key because the diversity of species can counteract the spread of viruses. So a key question to ask is, what role do financial institutions play in preventing the next pandemic? And where do capital markets stand in the fight against climate change? Well, we speak to Dr. Helena Wright, WWF Singapore's Vice President for Sustainable Infrastructure and Energy Finance, to find out. So Helena, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great, good to be in.
So first we've got to ask you, you know, capital markets are one of the most powerful tools we have in the fight against climate change. And, you know, this conversation's really been gaining ground, but do you think more needs to be done, especially in light of everything that's going on at the moment?
Absolutely. I think that capital markets do have a really sort of important role in what we're seeing in terms of the climate emergency. And particularly in the role of investors in terms of engaging the companies that they actually invest in. And we've already seen globally a lot of investors enjoying these kind of initiatives, such as collective engagement on climate change. In fact, more than $40 trillion worth of investors in terms of assets under management have joined sort of one of these initiatives. But actually, I think in Asia, there's not enough that's been done to tackle these issues, and not enough investors in Asia are doing enough to actually engage the companies that they invest in. And, you know, actually WWF has kind of found that in some of the reports that we've been producing. I think some of this is basically a lack of awareness about the risk of climate change, but also about the opportunities. And definitely agree it's important in terms of the current situation as well, and the pandemic that we're seeing, because actually, you know, the pandemic has highlighted that the loss of nature and deforestation and things are actually increasing the risk of pandemics. So this isn't the first crisis. We're going to see more of these types of crises coming up, actually, unless we tackle these urgent problems.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about opportunities later, but maybe you can just build on that point. You know, do you think that this is critical now more than ever, given the current pandemic? I mean, as you've mentioned, pandemics like this are potentially likely to come up more frequently in the future.
Organisations such as the UN have really pointed out that diseases like COVID-19 are going to be increasing due to factors like deforestation, the illegal wildlife trade, and also climate change. So this crisis could really be the first of many unless we start to tackle these problems. Also, another point I'd want to note is actually the climate emergency, which has really not gone away. In fact, if anything, this is getting worse and will be increasing. And we'll actually see tipping points taking place in this region. For example, in Southeast Asia, there's the coral reefs, which are extremely important for a lot of people's livelihoods, for a lot of fish production and food security. And these coral reefs could be really sort of obliterated by the impact of climate change. So, yeah, that's absolutely one of the reasons why this is the turning point that we're at in time now, where we need to start tackling these issues.
And you've mentioned that perhaps one of the reasons that we're not seeing such a significant take-up in the region is because investors perhaps aren't aware of the opportunities that are out there. So share with us, what are some of the opportunities from an investment perspective?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. In terms of the opportunity side, green projects and renewable energy in particular have been really sort of a massive growth sector globally. And the cost of renewable energy, for example, have been falling so rapidly that new solar plants are actually cheaper to build now than coal plants are to operate in many of the markets in this region, including Vietnam and Indonesia. But I think there's probably not enough awareness and perhaps not enough projects to actually invest in. But I don't think that there's actually a shortage of capital. I mean, we all know that there's a lot of capital floating around. And in fact, some of the banks and others have been really fighting to get the renewable energy deals. But what we might need is more good quality projects for people to invest in. And that means, I think, you know, a lot more businesses need to take up these opportunities and go to 100% renewable energy and really kind of recognise the growth opportunities that they can get involved in.
So what do you think needs to happen to really move things forward at a more rapid pace?
Well, I think some of the things that need to happen is, you know, investors need to get more engaged. They need to understand the risk of climate change, need to actually integrate this into their portfolios. And I also think financial institutions need to be more active in engaging governments as well. to have the stronger regulations that we need to see across the board. There's no single investor or institution can do this by themselves. There really needs to be a level playing field where we see the right standards and safeguards in place so that everybody can avoid the risk of climate change and also benefit from the growth opportunities in a sustainable transition.
And as you said, Helena, you know, it's an interesting point as well from the investment perspective, getting them to understand or perhaps be more aware of, you know, some of the financial benefits as well as the economic and sustainability benefits, so kind of how they would tie in hand in hand. Now, just picking up on your role on your point on the role of financial institutions when it comes to investing in these projects, and just to build on that as well, now, do you think financial institutions can play a role in preventing the next pandemic?
Absolutely. I think financial institutions are key to this. Like I've already mentioned, you know, pandemics are on the rise, actually, due to these factors like deforestation, nature loss, also climate change risks. So we really need to see financial institutions coming up to deal with these issues, and instead of investing in sort of destructive projects, actually shifting their investments to more sustainable and green projects, and they can get obviously strong returns through doing that as well, and actually having stronger safeguards as well in their lending, for example, you know, preventing the risk of deforestation in stakeholders or smallholders that they invest in. So I think those are all important factors really to consider.
How has the landscape changed though in the region? Do you think that FIs are starting to pick up on this now?
Absolutely. I think we're seeing a lot of change, and WDF reports have really shown that, you know, more investors and more banks over time are actually integrating ESG requirements. But it's still not enough really. And I would say a lot of institutions are sort of falling behind the global best practice on these topics. So, I mean, although we're seeing change, I think it needs to happen much faster, really, due to the urgency of some of these topics, and also the opportunities out there that really aren't being tapped as well.
As you mentioned, education still plays a critical role, but which areas do you think need to be focused on when it comes to awareness and driving this forward?
Yeah, I think education is really, really important, and awareness of this. And I think we need sustainability training to really be embedded into the professional development of finance professionals. Actually, through our programs, we've been training a lot of finance sector professionals over the past 5 years, but we really need to see sort of hundreds of thousands of finance professionals trained up on these topics, not just kind of a few sustainability people within organisations, but it needs to be mainstream so that the, you know, people that are having conversation with their clients on the ground are actually asking the right questions and avoiding sort of environmental risk. And so actually we're doing a lot on that, and we're planning to kind of roll out e-learning in future, actually. So a platform that will help sustainable finance professionals. So yeah, that's something that we think is really, really important.
That's interesting. What kind of courses are you running then for the professionals that are perhaps listening into this interview and are interested to take part? Can you tell us a little bit more about the courses you have?
Yeah, so at the moment we've been doing workshops mainly for banks and investors, and training workshops. So, you know, if anyone on the line sort of wants their organisation to be more involved in that, happy to for them to contact us. And those have mainly been sort of online webinars, etc. But in future, we are developing more resources online, so that will be a sort of e-learning that will be developed further down the line, and working with some of the industry bodies as well to roll out that training.
And what do the courses typically entail?
So there's a range of topics. Mostly, you know, the basics would be sort of sustainable finance 101 and, you know, climate risk integration, as well as things like the TCFD, which is the Task Force for Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, understanding what kind of disclosure requirements are needed. But then there's more in-depth topics available as well that we've been focusing on, like particular at-risk sectors like the energy sector or, you know, preventing deforestation and palm oil. So, yeah, there's quite a variety in the range of different things we've been doing. So, because we're actually running this platform called the Asia Sustainable Finance Initiative, mm-hmm. and that's basically a multi-stakeholder platform with lots of different knowledge partners, you know, bringing together the academia and industry, etc. So there's a lot of different partners there that are doing different types of training.
That's really interesting, Helena. When do you think we could see these e-courses come online?
So we're developing them at the moment. So I think the e-learning should be available within the next year or so. And a lot of the industry bodies that we're talking to have actually said there's quite a high demand for these types of resources. So hopefully that will kind of build on what's out there already, but be quite targeted and useful for the finance professionals.
Definitely. And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners in terms of understanding the role that capital markets play in terms of climate change?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to encourage the listeners out there to really find out more and learn and understand these issues a bit more, because we are seeing that these threats of climate change and other sort of nature tipping points, they're already happening and they're already a material risk for investors and for portfolio companies. So I'd really encourage people to find out more, to look online and see if there's a professional development course which they could do, or for businesses to look and see which opportunities they can take up in terms of sustainable finance and green projects that are out there. So I think there's a lot more that we can all be doing, but I think it's the urgency is kind of increasing due to the threats we're already seeing from the climate change emergency.
Well, Helena, it's absolutely wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for your insights, and we look forward to interviewing you again in the future.
Great, thanks a lot. Great to be here, and have a great day.
We've been speaking with Dr. Helena Wright, WWF Singapore's Vice President of Sustainable Infrastructure and Energy Finance, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.